Good morning. On the BBC interactive program called World Have Your Say, people from all over the world have been responding to the new airline regulations. Here's Shakat from Karachi, Pakistan.
The funny part of it, the people that I've spoken to here in Karachi, it's just evidence of the paranoia, they say, and this will never end. Today is profiling, tomorrow is going to be brain scanning, tomorrow, third day is going to be bracelets, electronic bracelets and all that. There's just no end to it.
Pakistan is one of 14 nations on the list that United States now considers to be at-risk nations, where the citizens of those countries are going to have to face tighter security restrictions at airports. We're joined now by Eric Lipton, Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And Eric can explain these restrictions and how they work to us. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
So walk me through this process. For example, if I hold a Nigerian passport, I'm going to be checked at every single U.S.-bound flight?
That's the intention that the Transportation Security Administration has, and it has imposed that upon airlines that fly to the United States. It's essentially told them that if you want the privilege to fly to the United States, any time that you have a passenger that's boarding your flight from any of these 14 countries, that individual must be patted down and their carry-on bag must be double-checked, usually at the gate, before they can enter the plane.
Okay, so what if I'm an American citizen, if I'm me, and let's say I start in Israel and I'm flying to the U.S., but I have a quick stop over in Sudan, then what happens?
Well, then you would be included in this net of people who would be subject to the mandatory additional check. So it is anyone who is a citizen of any of those 14 countries, as well as anyone who is taking a flight that originates from or passes through any of those 14 countries. So you then would be subject to the mandatory additional screening.
Okay, there's been obviously a lot of criticism from these 14 countries that are on the list. What kind of criticism is all about profiling?
Well, the response that I heard from some diplomats who represent those countries, for example, the ambassador to Algeria, is that, and also from in Nigeria and in Pakistan, I heard criticism, is that essentially you're suggesting that every one of the citizens of our country is a suspect, and that the presumption here is that simply because there are some people who have at some point been associated with our country that, you know, perhaps were related to Al-Qaeda, that therefore everyone in our country should be essentially considered a suspect. Well, and that they consider that offensive, and that the real answer here is to have a robust security system and robust intelligence program that prevents a terrorist from getting on planes, not to sort of look at all citizens of a country as being potentially a terrorist.
Well, but Eric, that's what I'm not clear on. What is the official language here? Are they calling these countries at risk, or are they calling them the axis of annoyance, the 14 nations?
Well, it's an interesting term that they use. They call them countries of interest.
Ah.
That's the term that they use. It's a sort of a gentle way of saying, you know, countries where we think terrorists may be.
Okay, so the question is, they make a distinction, though, between the four countries that they say sponsor terrorism and those countries that are of interest because they have terrorist camps originating?
So the list is made up of two parts. One is countries that are officials, what they call state sponsors of terrorism. It's a list that's made up by the State Department, and that includes countries like Iran and Cuba and Sudan. Then there's the other countries that are the countries of interest, that at some point there has been Al-Qaeda presumably associated with being present in those countries or being affiliated with people who are from those countries. It's much more ambiguous exactly how you get on that list.
Okay, Eric Lipton, thanks so much. He's a Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And as Eric was talking about, the criticism is that clearly most of the people that live in these nations are not affiliated with terrorism, nor are they have any plans of causing any kind of violent act on flights to the United States. Back with us is Nuala McGovern, host of BBC's World Have Your Say. And Nuala, you heard all kinds of people from all over the world. I wanted to listen to Susanna from Kingston, Jamaica.
I was profiled. I was searched four times before I left Kingston, Jamaica. I was searched when I reached the airport, when I reached the end of the corridor to get on the plane, when I came off the plane, because obviously I might have gotten off the plane in midair and done something. Nobody else was searched.
Clearly she's a little bit ironic about the fact of her threat as a terrorist suspect.
She is indeed. And in fact, Susanna went on to say that she weighs 100 pounds, and if she had her coin in her pocket, you could see the date on it. So she didn't think that. She thought they were unfairly profiling her. And one of the really interesting points, I thought, which came up last night, was this whole idea of a substitution strategy. And what that means, really, is if you profile certain nationalities or a certain group of people, will the people who are then trying to commit terrorist acts then just go to a different group, to somebody that you're not expecting to profile? I thought it was quite interesting. We had one commenter, Ibrahim, in the UK, who really thought this, that they would just then go outside of their group. He mentioned Egyptians and Jordanians not being on the list. And funny enough, one of the main stories this morning, of course, is the CIA double agent who in fact turned out to be
right.
Jordanian. So I thought that was quite interesting. And we couldn't seem to come to an agreement with the different people who were calling about whether a substitution strategy would really happen or not. One person said, how many female Swedish Quaker terrorists have you met? So the debate went on.
Deep sleeper cell, I guess that would be.
I guess so.
You know, Nuala, I think I was also surprised by some of the people who called in and talked about getting extra screening for kind of strange reasons. This is Vivian calling from Spain.
In my case, the unusual was that I was resident in Paris at the time, but my ticket had been purchased in Frankfurt. So immediately, I go into a category that merits having questions. I was taken into a room. All my clothes were removed.
And that's where that comment ends. So I guess we're supposed to guess what happened after all of his clothes were removed.
He said he had like one little something on his passport that then kind of triggered him to get checked. But he did seem to have a problem with that. I mean, the searches are a big part of it. The one thing is the Nigerian would-be bomber last week, even if he had the full pat-down, etc., that they're now bringing in, it still wouldn't have detected the bomb. Number two, we had Pat Brown, who's in favour of profiling, and she said she feels Italian authorities do it really well and that she was frisked so completely that she felt she was dating the woman by the end of it. Mm. However, this is a thing. How far can searches go, or should the argument be more towards searches instead of profiling a certain nationality?
Was there any sympathy with the American feeling that they're unsafe, that there's a terrorist threat on the airlines?
Oh, yes, there was. There was indeed. Some people thought that, let's do it. It's going to take an extra 15 minutes. Other people, of course, particularly those on this list, felt targeted.
Okay. Nuala McGovern, host of the BBC's interactive show, The World Have Your Say. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.